Good morning, and also bring you greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be with the saints that are gathered here at Living Hope, and to think about the saints that are gathered across the world, that are fellowshipping, that are hearing the word preached, that are singing. There are some people like Jay was saying that are persecuted, that aren't able to meet in this way. And it is a privilege. We do have a privilege to gather together like this and to worship the Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we come to you this morning, and it is with great joy that we come before you. We truly have heard from you this morning, and we thank you for that. Lord, would you again speak to us? Lord, we open our hearts. We want to hear, we want to receive. Lord, would you come and minister your word? What do we need to hear? What are you wanting to say to the church, Father? And so I pray that you would come and touch my lips, that I can share the word that you have given. I pray for the ears, that they would hear, and the hearts would be open to receive. Father, that our wills would be bent, would be yielded to you and to the word that is coming. Father, that we can grow in grace so we don't groan in disgrace, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate what we heard this morning. I'm always amazed how things fit together. So, amen. The title that I gave this morning to the message is Christian Duties. Christian Duties. And I'm going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, 13, and 14, and part of 15. And look through there and see what some of our duties are as Christians. The burden for the message this morning is for us as the church. What can we learn from this passage of Scripture? So I'm going to give a little bit of an expository. I won't definitely be able to mine all the nuggets that are here in this group of scriptures, but to kind of do an overview of it and see what we can learn, and maybe some of the verses maybe dig down just a little bit deeper. I appreciated the thoughts this morning, and I may have a few things along those lines that we already heard. Okay, so I think I'll start by reading Romans chapter 12, 13, and 14, and then down to verse 7 in chapter 15. And as as I read this, as you follow along, I want us to be thinking about our Christian duties. So the caption, the title in my Bible, I have the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and it says over chapter 12, Christian Duties. And then also in chapter 13 and 14, that theme kind of follows through there. So I'm going to read in the King James, but then I have a few places where I want to read in the ESV that kind of helps us understand a little better. Maybe I'll do that when we come back and look at it a little deeper. All right, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I want to stop right there, and maybe I'll read that in the ESV, because there is a word that stood out to me. I should have brought my ESV Bible along. I thought I'd just pull it up here on my phone, and of course it wants to act up right now. Sorry about that. Okay, chapter 12. And this goes along with a little bit what Brother Joseph was saying. So the first verse, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He was talking about sacrifices. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That word spiritual worship, the ESV uses instead of reasonable service. I thought that was interesting. So, spiritual worship, our bodies, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, is a part of our spiritual worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Chapter 13. Now this is duty to the state, to the natural governments here. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou, then, not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of him. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. All right, that's where we're going to stop. And we'll go back now and pull a few things out that maybe we can learn from. So this passage of Scripture, Paul was writing to the Romans, and his burden, his heart, I believe to put it in a nutshell, kind of this passage, this group of Scriptures here, was to us as individuals to humble ourselves, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and not to be a stumbling block to a brother, to be thinking of others, and to have the mind of Christ, to recognize that we all have different opinions, different views, different outlooks. Maybe someone has grace in one area, while another person has grace in another area. And so to receive everybody, to be of one mind, and not to be offending our brothers. So that's kind of a nutshell, maybe, of what this passage, this group of scriptures is talking about. So let's start here again in chapter 12 and look at the first three verses. So the first three verses have to do with the surrendered life. And like I read here in the ESV, I'll read it in the ESV to kind of get a different picture a little bit. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what and acceptable and perfect. So, the surrendered life. It all starts, our Christian experience, our Christian life, starts with a surrender. And it needs to continue that way. Our lives, we cannot live to ourselves, and that comes up over and over and over again in this passage. So present our bodies a living sacrifice. So a living sacrifice. The animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament were killed. You know, they were not living any longer. They could no longer live because they were sacrificed. They were killed. And here we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service or our spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So our natural minds, we do not love the brotherhood like what was up here earlier. I appreciated that verse. Thank you for putting it up there. Our natural minds are to not be accepting and loving and forgiving. So I want to think about this as individuals. We can do this individually. This is something that we as individuals can do. But also I want to look at it as a church body. How do we build the body of Christ? How do we, as a church body, experience this or grow in these areas? So it can be applied individually, and I believe it can also be applied as a church body. And churches are made up of individuals. You know, we are all, this church body, all church bodies are made up of individuals. But there has to be a blending and a giving of oneself in order to be a part of the whole. And I guess that was my burden this, as I've been meditating and pondering, well, over the last years. But just, Lord, how can we as Living Hope experience more of the fullness or more of your blessing in church fellowship? And so I read this passage, and quite a few things stuck out to me, and I'll share them with you a little bit. So the first three verses is the surrendered life, and then the next group, verses 4 and 5, the church is compared to the human body, and how we are many members. Our human body has many parts of it. We have hands and fingers and so on. And how the church body is made up of many members. We don't all have the same use or the same function. We don't all do the same function. And I was thinking about this particularly also as there's some visitors here that are wanting to fellowship with us. And I want you all to be as you're considering, is this the body that I want to be a part of? You know, we as Living Hope, we don't have it all together. And I think that's one thing that we need to keep in our mind, that we are a part of the body of Christ, but we need everyone. We all have a function. And so as individuals, we need to fulfill that function. So I've, as a natural example, I've been a hoof trimmer for 15 years, and I use certain parts of my body more than others. So I do a lot of repetitious movement with my, just back and forth, when I'm grinding the hoof, when I'm shaping it, when I'm using the knives and so on. So my right arm is what I use a lot for my work. And a couple things that hoof trimmers experience is they often get carpal tunnel in their forearms and or shoulder issues. They'll get rotary cuff issues because it's a lot of repetitious movement. And I'm starting to experience that. I've been trimming for 15 years, and here in my shoulders, it's starting to hurt, you know, and this member is hurting. And so what do we do when we have a member that is hurting? We tend to, I put some ice on it. I have a liniment that I'll rub in, and that seems to help. Keeps the muscles limber and so on. And so then I was thinking about that practically. Well, what do we do when we have a sore member in our body here? I know the saying has been that the Christian army is the only army that shoots their wounded, you know. And I guess that really humbled me, I guess, to think about, you know, are we rallying around each other? If there is a member that is hurting, or I shouldn't say if, when there is a member that is hurting, are we coming along beside and encouraging and doing what we can to lift up that member, to help them heal? It's very possible that I'll need to do something a little more drastic with my shoulder at some point. You know, that part of my body is wearing out, and I'm taking collagen and some things, you know, to try and help my body to do its job. But so again, to bring that down to the church, do we have a heart of compassion for our members? And you know, I don't know how to really. How to apply that, but think about it in your own mind. Are we each looking for a way to improve each other? Are we pouring in the oil and wine when it's needed? Okay, then various duties of the church comes out in verses 6 through 8. So we have prophets, prophecy, teaching, ministry, exhorting, those that give, those that rule, and those that show mercy are the ones that Paul listed here. So we all have, we have in the body of, in the church, we have various duties. And I want to encourage us all to do these duties faithfully. We're not all called to be ushers or called to whatever, but each of those jobs, each of these things that we are doing is a necessary part. And I guess thinking about the ladies, maybe some, and the parts that they fill, I really enjoyed hearing you all sing that one verse of song, something about the female voice blending. It was edifying. I enjoyed it. Thank you for that. But what are other areas where our sisters can build the body of Christ? Hospitality, we goes on to say here about hospitality. Notes of encouragement. There's lots of ways that the ladies can build the body of Christ and be an encouragement, be that support. So I bless you in that also as you fulfill your responsibilities. Alrighty, let's look at practical outworkings of love. It's basically the rest of chapter 12 there. Lots of just practical things. Being kindly affectionate one toward another. In honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business. In the ESV, that was not slothful in zeal, actually, is the way it interpreted that. Basically, diligence was what it was saying, was to be diligent. And when you have a job, when you have a, you know, when do your part well, maybe is a way to say it. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. There's quite a few other just practical things. How can we build the body of Christ? What are our Christian duties? Be of the same mind one toward another. Avenge not yourselves, rather give place unto wrath. So there are times when we offend one another. And, you know, how do we then overcome those offenses? Here it gives us some very practical things. One thing to remember is that we don't need to get even, that God will recompense. And to forgive and to overcome evil with good. Just some very practical things there. The rest of that passage. And then looking at chapter 13, the first two verses, duty to the state. So we do live in this, and there are earthly governments that are governing us. And it is our duty as Christians to honor and respect and to recognize that, actually it says here that they are ordained of God, that the earthly governments, the authority of the state is given to them by God. And if we resist that authority, if we have ill will or ill feelings toward the state, toward the government, that's not right. We need to have positive thoughts maybe. Or so the government, you know, what do we do with this practically? They do things that we don't think is right. How do we practically honor them? Something to think about. We honor their laws as far as we can without disobeying the word of God. So think about these things. How can we fulfill our Christian duty to honor the state? And duties of citizenship, paying our taxes, and then verses 8 through 10 shows us how that love is the fulfillment of the law. So you have the law, that could have been like the Mosaic law, it could be all of God's law, Jesus, you know, Sermon on the Mount, just all those things. Basically, to boil it down is love is the fulfillment of the law, true love from the heart. Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So what does that look practically? How does that work out? There could be many things that we can think about. How do we practically love one another? Let's ponder those things. I don't have a lot to say except that love is the fulfillment of the law. Yes, the law is important, is part of our life, the doctrine, the teachings, and so on. But loving and giving of ourself in that love fulfills that law. And at the end of chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, dawning of a new day. So there is, basically it is telling us, you know, that the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and all those other things, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So there's a newness. There's a we were once fulfilling the flesh, and now we are living in love and living in the Holy Ghost is indwelling us, and there is a new day, a new opportunity to love and love thy neighbor as thyself. So chapter 14 then, how to treat a weak brother, the duty of charitable living. What is a weak brother, or who is weak in the faith? Chapter 15 says, it starts out saying, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. I'd like to open it up for a thought on that. Who is a weak brother, or what is the description of a weak brother or weak in faith, an example of a strong? The strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Does anyone have any thoughts you'd like to share on those, on that? Someone that is weak or someone that is strong?
So it may not mean that they're truly weak in the faith, but in our judgment, they may be.
Yeah. Good. That's the line of thought that I had was, for those that might be on the phone, what Brother Duff was sharing was we think sometimes that if someone doesn't think along the same lines of thought that we have, that they must be off, or they must be weak, or they must be, you know, that we're the strong ones. And I guess as I pondered that, I was like, you know, well, what's predominant in that thinking? Isn't it I and me and my, and, you know, that is also weakness to be proud, you know. And I think we need to be careful not to assume that we're the strong ones. Be willing to hear other people's opinions, and be willing to share your own opinions also. But it does go on to say, you know, people that are maybe tied up with, you know, what should we eat, what should we drink, which day should we observe, that could be a weakness. To get focused on those types of things. But let's be careful if you're going to, it goes on to talk about judging, let's be careful if you're going to judge someone by what they eat or the days they observe or other things. Let's be careful that we're not judging with a critical attitude. So let's start looking at chapter 14 here a little bit. There are differences of opinion, verses 1 to 7. Now, I don't know exactly what Paul was referring to. I think it was something culturally maybe, about you know, maybe eating food offered to idols. In Corinthians, I know they talked about that. Different days they observed. There was holidays. There were feast days. That possibly the Romans were contending on. There was a contention, it seems like, where people thought this or people thought another thing. And it basically, I believe what Paul is trying to say here, what the Holy Ghost is trying to say through Paul, is that love is the fulfillment, that we need to be loving one another. We can't be picking apart each other, judging each other because of our opinions. In fact, maybe we could be spiritually immature if we are picking apart each other. So we have a duty to be charitable and to give each other grace. And, you know, that can be hard sometimes when we think pretty strongly along one way. How do we give grace to our brother? And yes, we are to be discerning and to be, you know, is this the way we want to go? We can discern things. But to give grace to one another, as long as it's not, you know, sin or biblically wrong, we need to give grace one to another, I believe this is saying. So there, here it's differences of opinion in what you eat and certain days to observe. What are some things that maybe we, what is relevant in our culture? Think about that. What are some ways that we should be giving grace to our brother or to our sister? Verses 8 and 9. Live unto the Lord. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So to keep that in context, keep that in mind, that we are living unto the Lord. And when we die, when this body dies, we are still the Lord's. Then it goes into judgment forbidden, verses 10 to 14. Judging one another seems like it really brings a grief to God's heart if we pass judgment on one another for some of the things that we allow in our life or don't allow, and we see a brother that, you know, does things differently. Let's be careful not to cast judgment on one another, but instead to bless them. And the things that we can bless, bless them in those things. charitable living, self-sacrifice, verses 15 to 23 to the end of the chapter there. A charitable, you know, having charity in our hearts, thinking of our brother in a charitable way. If our brother is grieved with what we're doing, it's not charitable to just insist on what we're doing. This is right, you know. But don't destroy your brother for whom Christ died by what you allow in your life. Let's be charitable and be conscious that God has accepted this brother, this sister, and I need to be accepting them also. Let us follow after things that make for peace, things that are wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God, or for these carnal things, destroy not the work of God. Let's be charitable one to another. And then chapter 15 is the duty of sympathetic and unselfish living. So we're looking at some of the Christian duties here in these three chapters. This is a duty of sympathetic and unselfish living. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Again, this takes, if we are wishy-washy or if we are not confident in where we are walking, we will tend to judge our brother. So that's another thought that I want to bring out, that we need to know where we're going, what we stand for, why we believe what we believe, why we practice what we practice in our individual families maybe, but then not to be offended, or we need to give grace to our brother who maybe sees things a little different. Even Christ pleased not himself. And then verse 7 in chapter 15, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So receive one another. As we are building this body, so this is a living building. This is a church is a living unit. We're not stoic. We're not just, you know, like a building that you build and then it stays there. There's a time of building and then you use the building. But the church is always growing. And are we growing together? Are we sharpening one another? Are we encouraging one another? Are we dying so that another can live? Are we pursuing peace with each other? I think those are some of the duties that we have as a church, to be giving of ourself. So a lot of this has to do with dying to ourself, to our opinions, and honoring, preferring others. It's a hard thing to do. It's easy to talk about, but hard to do. But Christ, even Christ, didn't necessarily do everything that pleased himself. He lived for others. So some of the key verses that I'd like to go back and look at and just would be verses, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, about the sacrificial living. And this is part of our worship, is to sacrifice ourselves. And that it is holy and acceptable unto God when we sacrifice ourselves. We're not conformed to this world. So this is, I believe, a key to one anothering, to being not being offended with one another, or not being stuck in the mud, or I'm not sure how to all say this, but is to be a living sacrifice, to sacrifice ourselves, and to renew our mind, to think what is good and right. And that is the will of God, to be, to have our minds centered on what is good and right in somebody, instead of looking at the negatives, instead to look at the good and to encourage the good in them. This is something that I wish I knew more of. I wish I experienced more of. I want to see the good in people and to bless and encourage that, instead of looking at the negatives and you should do this better, you know, but instead to see the positives and to encourage. That's a cry of my heart, I guess, as I become more like Christ. Then another key verse I would see in verse chapter 13, verse 8, to owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And also verse 9 and 10, there at the end of 9, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And then again in chapter 14, verses 13 through 19, I think is very crucial, very key. Not to be judging one another. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. And then I believe this is a key also. For the kingdom of God, we are concerned about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, or the outward, carnal, everyday life. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, so that fear of God, that right living, that pursuing after God, the righteousness and peace, having peace in our hearts. And that peace can't come if we're full of ourselves. full of pride, full of arrogance, full of, you know, picking at people. That peace can only come, the peace of God, when we are emptied of ourself, and that brings joy then when we are, when we have the righteousness of God and we are righteous, not righteous, not self-righteous. We can't be self-righteous. That's this righteousness is only from, only comes from God and a proper, maybe a proper view of God and a proper view of ourself. So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And another verse I believe is a key is to receive one another, like in chapter 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, our difficulties in relating to each other isn't so much in eating or drinking or days to observe. That's not really our, that's not really relevant to us here, at, like it was talking about in Romans. But what is, what are our difficulties? Like what, as you're, as you think about, you know, what are the difficulties that kind of grind you or, you know, concerning your brother? Think about those things. And how can you, how can I die to those things? And have the heart of Christ in loving and receiving my brother. It seems like God's heart is grieved when we cast judgment on each other. We do need discernment. We do need to discern rightly. We need to discern a proper direction. We want to raise a godly, God-fearing, loving family. We want to be part of a church that is on purpose, that is focused, that is not drifting into the world. So there is some discerning and even some, if you want to use the word, judging of things. But let's be careful that we're not judging character or motives or perceptions. We perceive things about certain people. Let's be careful about that. And have the mind of Christ to think of good. When we think of our brother, think good of them. And how can I encourage the good? And yes, we all have flat spots. I have flat spots. I have places in my life that I need healing. I need grace. And I need you all to help me in those things. And you need me to help you in your flat spots, to encourage you. So let's, as we have this back and forth, you know, sometimes it does hurt. It does, it doesn't feel good when we point something out in someone's life. But let's do it out of love, out of concern, out of wanting to see the good in that person, in the brother or sister. We don't want to be riding our own hobby horses. There again, doesn't that, you know, it's me, my, and, you know, this is my thing. I don't think there's a place for that in God's church, in the people of God. We need to be loving the union and submitting to the union and not riding our own hobby horses. Christ is honored and his kingdom built when we lay down our lives for the brethren, live in righteousness and peace and joy. So the burden this morning is along those lines. And it's not that I see that we have a great need in this area. I should have mentioned that maybe first. But just as we relate to each other, we're going to have differences of opinion. We're going to have differences of expression. You know, what do we do with that? How do we relate to each other in a proper way? And I believe there's a lot of things that we can learn here. Some of us have, you know, a certain gift that is, you know, use those gifts. Yes, amen. Use the gifts. We need prophets. We need teachers. We need all these things. But we need to blend. We're not islands in ourselves. We were not designed You know, one person cannot reproduce of their self. It takes two. It takes a male and a female to reproduce. The same in the body of Christ. We want to be fruitful. How do we become fruitful? It's by blending. It's by giving of ourself. It's by submitting one to another. Unselfish. And receiving one another, encouraging one another, building each other up. So those are my thoughts this morning. I hope you could be encouraged and strengthened in your walk with Christ individually, but then also in the body of Christ, this body here at Living Hope, to be looking at the good in each other and blessing the good, encouraging what we see that is good, and that doesn't mean that we hide our heads in the sand and not reprove, rebuke. You know, the Bible talks about that also. We do not allow sin in our lives or in the church, but let's be careful to see the good in each other, maybe, is a good way to say, and not to live selfishly. Thank you.